2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at just several verses from this passage. Paul giving great encouragement to a young servant, preacher, if you will, and he encourages Timothy several ways. He first calls him in verse 1 his son. Have a look in verse 1, he just calls him his son. He says, "Thou therefore my son." There are several things here that we're going to find in the scriptures, particularly in chapter 2, that he calls him he likens him to a specific person. And the first person here deals with a relationship that he had with him. He had a very close relationship, and he wanted to encourage him, if you will. He wanted to instill in him things that God taught him and that he learned under the inspiration of God. And this is the great commission that we see, that God wants us to teach others as we have been taught. It doesn't just, you know, come to preaching the gospel. That's the beginning. The gospel is the beginning. That's what we build our faith upon, the faith of the gospel. But there is a lot of things that we need to be taught in the Christian life. And he, Paul, encourages him with his mission in verse 2. Have a look at his mission. He says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So this is the mission of Timothy, and he's encouraging him. He says, "Timothy, I want you to be faithful, to commit to others what I've committed to you." And that's his mission. And within that mission, he encourages him in several ways by liking him first and foremost to a soldier. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So first of all, we see he likens him as a soldier. And what we want to get from this is hardness. Soldiers go through a lot of things. They go through discipline and they get trained. But he specifically draws his attention to the hardness that a soldier endures. Okay, and so what he's saying to Timothy, you're going to have some hard times. You're going to have to endure some hardness as you commit yourself teaching these men. There's going to be some tough times. There's going to be hardness that you're going to have to endure and push through. It's going to be tough. But he's simply encouraging him to endure through the tough times. Keep going. Be disciplined. And go through those trials. And then have a look at verse 5. He likens him as an athlete. Look at verse 5. He says, "If a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." And he is not only dealing with hardness, but now he's dealing with honesty. If you're going to be in this ministry, you're going to have to obey the rules. Okay, you're going to have to do it. Listen, by the book. This is our rule book. Amen. These are the principles that govern our ministries, govern our lives. And over here he's saying, Timothy, don't be disqualified. And so when we enter the ministry, we have to understand that we're going to go through hardness, but also we have to be honest in the very things that God has given us to do, the responsibilities that God has committed to us. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul the Apostle says, "I keep my body under subjection." Why? Because he knew that he could be a castaway. He knew that he could be disqualified. Who, Paul the Apostle? Yeah, Paul the Apostle. Any man can be disqualified if they don't play by the rules, if they don't stay true to the Word of God. Okay, and then in verse 6, he likens him as a farmer. Okay, look at verse 6. In verse 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Okay, so what's he saying here? Well, we're going to look at the word of here, not only hardships and honesty, but we're going to look at the word hard work. Okay, because he's talking about laboring. But you know also what he's saying, hard work pays off because he's the partaker of the fruits. Okay, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Have a look quickly. Leave your finger there. But look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and look at verse 23. In all labor there is, what's that word? Profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, poverty. Talk is cheap. You know, the reason why our society is going downhill is because they're not being faithful to their words or to their vows. Yeah, our marriages are going down because not faithful to their vows. And so let me say this to you. Be committed to the very things that you have promised to do. If you have, some of you have enrolled in Bible college or Bible Institute or more whatever you want to call it, more training, more studies, be committed to it. And what does that mean? Hard work, but it's going to pay off. Don't do these studies. Don't just go through them and then regret it later on. Only if I gave it more time or focus more. Well, you can do it now. You just have to prioritize. You've got to make first things first. What has God called me to do now? And hands on the plow, please. It's hard work when you're plowing the ground. It is hard work. And in the midst of that, there's going to be hardship, and we have to be honest. Amen. But have a look in verse 21. He also likens Timothy to be a vessel. Okay, verse 21, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge himself from what? Well, from the context of Scripture, he's talking about evil workers. He's talking about those that are dishonest. Teachers and deceivers and so forth. And so, you know what? Paul didn't want Timothy to be associated with false teachers or teachings because it can actually defile a person. And so over here we get the word holy. He wants him to be holy, okay? Holy. You say, holy? Yeah. Holy men of God. God is not going to use vessels that are defiled. And if you get too close to evil communication, guess what it's going to do to your manners? It is. Do you believe in that principle?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they were being corrupted by false doctrine, and particularly saying that the resurrection is done, it's gone, it's finished. It's no resurrection. And that can actually corrupt you. It can corrupt your thinking. Many a times Paul said to Timothy, stay away from these people, avoid them. Not that he was insecure, but it was just time wasting. Yeah. It's only going to mess around with you. And especially, can I just say this to you? Like, honestly, especially when you're going through the Bible Institute, stay away from Calvinism. You don't need to go there. You know what's going to do to your commitment? Going to take it right down. You're going to go through it and you're going to think, why am I studying for? Why am I doing what I'm doing? That's what it's going to make you think, and then you're going to act upon those thoughts and you're going to drop the ball. So, this is all just a role play then. So God's the director. He's worked it all out. Why bother then? Let me encourage you, stay away from this because you don't want to. That's why we don't have it as a major course, you know. You probably have to be in 30 years in the Bible Institute before we take that course. I am serious. It does nothing for you. You know, it does nothing for you. If we learn about it, I think to myself, we've got it there as a subject. What's it going to do for us? Go round and round and round in circles with someone that's already made up their mind anyways, where we can be on the street witnessing to people? True. I mean, I've been going around and around for what? What's the outcome? Just recently, we spoke about it on Sunday night. It really didn't take us anywhere. I was talking to someone that was messed up by it. He used to be a soul winner, and he's going back into soul winning. And what stopped him? Well, Calvinism. Well, he's got the wrong understanding of Calvinism. And then some might say, well, I'm just saying it's going to play around with your head and it will corrupt you and it will weaken your hands for the work that God has given you. The only good thing that came out when we were discussing this situation, I tell you, and this man thankfully got out of it, is that the Holy Spirit of God led him to the same conclusions that the Holy Spirit of God led me. And I have never met him before until that day. So that was the only thing. You remember that, James? He was saying exactly the same thing that I was saying, and I was saying exactly the same thing he was saying. And who led us to that conclusion, to think that way? I believe the Holy Spirit. But let me just say, you want to go through that, and if it can actually take you down to a path you don't want to go. It is an absolutely discouraging subject, okay? And so, well, over here he says, stay away from false teachings, okay, and teachers. Be holy. I missed a verse. Verse 15. He also likens him to be a workman. Okay, have a look at verse 15. Workman, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what he says here? You need to rightly divide the word of truth. This is where we're going to get the word here. Handle the word of God correctly. Handle the word of God correct. Get a grip on it. When you study the scriptures, particularly you're doing your first subject, how to interpret the scriptures or the Bible, that's going to help you get a grip on the word of God so you can rightly divide it, cutting it straight, that you don't do any injustice to the word of God. For those that have been called to preach, you don't want to get off the pulpit preaching and someone coming up to you every time and saying, oh, I don't think that was right. That's going to be discouraging to no end. Now, you can get some brother that would love you to help you, but you're going to get majority of people, particularly in some churches that are filled with carnal people, challenging you with what one little statement that you said, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to miss everything that you said. The whole message, they're just sitting there and they're being just critiques, writing how they're going to approach you and how they're going to discourage you. And so what do you need to do? Don't give them any room. I love what Paul said to Titus. Go have a look at Titus chapter 2. This has been an encouragement to me to no end to keep me accountable in this area. Have a look at verse 8. Well, you can even back it up, verse 6. Verse 6, Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in what? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Look at this, verse 8. If you want to memorize it, it'd be a beautiful verse to memorize. Sound speech that cannot be what? Condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be a what? Ashamed. Having no evil thing to say of you. Amen. Handle the word of God correctly. Amen. Be a workman. Don't cram your study. Don't cram your study. You know what's going to happen if you cram? God's not going to give you grace. Now, there could be times where you have no choice and God give you grace and it comes from heaven and you say, thank God for that. But if you're going to be constantly cramming and lazy, then you're not going to have grace for the pace. You won't. You'll fail. You won't know how to put words together and you'll fumble and you'll just say some things that you're going to regret. Amen. And you don't want to do that. You want to be sharp. And let me just encourage you, never preach on a passage that you don't have a grip on. Just don't go there. Okay, get it right. Be convinced by God and preach it with a passion. Teach it with a passion. All right? And we're going to see also he likens him not only as a workman, but have a look at verse 24, a servant. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. This is where we're going to get the word humility. Okay? He wants him to be a humble servant, patient, when he's working with particularly Hymenaeus, these evil workers. Who else was with him? His friend Philetus, which the Bible says their word eateth like a canker. You know what that means? The words that they speak are corrupt and that can cause gangrene to your soul. It can actually kill you. And so what if I face some of these people in my lifetime of my ministry? Well, even with them, I need to be careful, because you know what? One of the things that they want to do is they want to ruin your testimony, and they want to try to get you to be disqualified. See, he's a brawler. I've seen that many times. You think they care about the truth? They just want to destroy you, my friend. And here Paul is saying, be gentle. Learn from the master. I've been in many situations that I regret. Honestly, I do. And I think, you know, I walk away from that. I think that was fleshly. That wasn't Christ-like, nor was that exhibiting any fruit of the Spirit. And basically what he's saying to him, he says, be Christ-like. Because remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And one of the fruit of the Spirit, it's what? Meekness, gentleness, humility. A servant that is humble. You know, many a times the hardships that come, people that try to cause us harm, you know, try to defile us so we're not holy. Perhaps things that come in our life to try to weaken our hands from the work. You know, we're on the plow and we want to work hard, but we find ourselves, you know, not doing what we're supposed to. All these things will contribute to a servant that is not humble. What keeps us humble? What keeps us humble? Listen, what's going to keep us going like soldiers? What's going to keep us honest and make sure that we're obeying the rules, the Word of God? What's going to help us be hard workers? And what's going to help us get a handle on the Word of God and be holy with humility? Verse 1. Look at verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There it is there. God's grace. There's no other way. Amen. What's the motivation? That we, in verse 4, may please him that has chosen us to be good soldiers. And not only that, not only to please God, but what did Paul say that he endured hardness? Verse 10, what did he say? He endures hardness for what? Have a look. For? And we can still use elect, can't we? Even though we're not Calvinists. Amen? We can still use elect. It's in the Bible. You know who the elect are? The blood-bought believers. They're the elect. Amen? Amen? And he says we endure hardness by the grace of God to first and foremost please the Lord and then help others. And then help others. By the way, I'm not going to make this my hobby horse, Calvinism. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get off it. I'm not even going to start. You know, I'm telling you, even though it's sweeping, it's already swept America and it's coming and sweeping our nation, Australia. But I'm not going to make it my hobby horse. Let's stick to the book. Let's do what God wants us to do. And hands on the plow by God's grace and move forward. Amen? Let's pray. We love you and we thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight, to sing to you and encourage one another and to pray for others. We come before you and give thanks. And just remember those people that cannot be with us tonight, particularly my wife and family because of sickness, Pam, Elaine. Father, we think about these ones that would love to be here. Florence, but cannot. We pray, Lord, that you would give them grace for their infirmities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we've got time for one hymn.